Well, that pretty much brings us back to today. So far, this trip's been a window into the past, but we've got enough left to peek a bit into the future, too. 1991 will see the young Indiana Jones in his own adventure spectacular and an incredible live Muppet show. The Little Mermaid, Ariel, and her friend Sebastian the Crab will swim onto the scene in 1993. One year later, George Lucas returns to Disneyland with Alien Encounter. 1996, Dick Tracy's Crime Stoppers, combining state-of-the-art technology with a classic story from the past. Further ahead, Baby Herman's Runaway Buggy Ride through a whole new area in the park, Hollywoodland, where park guests will appear in classic films of yesterday and television of tomorrow.
Welcome, dreamers of all ages, to another episode of Unbuilt, an unrealized theme park podcast. With me today, as always, is my co-host Ryan Dorman. How are you doing?
Tired.
I had to put my name in the podcast help wanted papers after the last announcement.
Oh, okay. Well, no. you got another year to.
That's okay. You know. I would never do a theme park podcast ever again.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can pursue other theme podcast interests, like, you know, you could do a film podcast. There's none of those out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I can be a white guy doing a film podcast. that realization hit me like a couple of months ago. Like, I was recording a review, and it's why I don't want to do them. It's like, wow, I'm a white guy making movie reviews. I'm really breaking new ground here in the space.
It's what everybody wants to listen to nowadays.
I have a lot to say about Barbie.
Well, yeah, that's right. You have to talk about how either happy or furious you are about Greta Gerwig's snub, even though she technically has been nominated for an Oscar for best screenplay.
Yeah.
You know, and Margot Robbie, who, I mean, yes, she's a producer on Barbie, so with the Best Picture nomination, she did get nominated, but she didn't get an actress nomination, and that's just not fair. I think they're being totally misogynistic, and that's totally ignoring the fact that America Ferrera got a nomination for Barbie.
Whatever scumbag misogynist director forced Greta Gerwig to put a Ken song in the movie is really the person who should be lambasted here. Really, that they're the evil villain, the one no one is willing to talk about.
Well, just you wait until Ryan Gosling performs I'm Just Ken on the Oscar stage.
There's no way. No way that'll happen. Look at Simu.
Simu.
Yeah. He's not doing anything. Bussing tables at like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, no, he's not preparing for Shang-Chi 2.
No. That's like the people who were like in Captain Marvel 3. They should really have it be like a new Civil War. And it's like, honey, there's no Captain Marvel 3.
It comes on Disney Plus like in 2 weeks. I hope everybody's waiting to give it a chance.
Why?
Well, I did see it in theaters. I did see the Marvels in theaters, and honestly, there's some things I remember about it, but God, it is so slight. It feels like the editing is terrible, and there are some good ideas in it, but it just never comes together. It's hard to say. That, and they obviously cut out the lesbian subplot between Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, and Valkyrie, which is super awkward. So Thumbs up to you,
Marvel.
What do
you mean they cut it out? Like, they cut it out in the edit or they cut it out in the script?
It feels like they cut it out of the script because Valkyrie just awkwardly shows up and there's like some unnamed past between them, but they don't say what anything is. And it's like, well, it's, come on, just say it. Who gives a shit? But China, they can't have the gay people in China. And I mean, that turned out so well for the Marvels. The Marvels made so much money because they cut that out.
Yeah, Disney's doing really well.
Yeah. So. With that Solry release, just broke the
box.
Oh, yeah.
Office. Like six people saw that. That's exciting.
I'm one of the six people. With the
I honestly don't think any theaters near me were showing it.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, they were like, yeah, it's coming in the theaters, and they only released it into 1,300 theaters. That's it. I'm like, what was the point of this? And I honestly felt ripped off a little bit because when I went to go see Soul, there was like four other people in my screening. I was honestly walking in expecting to have a private screening. Almost kind of felt ripped off.
You
didn't
want anyone else to be there, is what you're saying.
Correct, yeah.
You're unhappy that you had to share the theater with all these other people.
Exactly. And, okay, you go to the movies a lot. Have you seen these new Walt Disney World commercials?
I saw you tweeting about it. The old people one, right?
There's multiples of these. It is the most bizarre thing. It's like they're capturing little moments at Disney World. And like you would expect, most of these would be capturing people like interacting with like characters and being on rides, and like one or two of them are, but there's like really weird moments, and supposedly these are real, but they're obviously staged. Like a family singing It's a Small World on the rail, on the monorail. Or they have a weird one where somebody is having a birthday party in a Fort Wilderness cabin or something like that, like in a DVC. Like, what? What are we? So, like, I guess the idea is that you could take your family here and just have special memories together that you could have literally anywhere. It is.
Yeah, I mean, the strangest problem. The big problem is like that Disney has always tried to capture that super natural feeling in some of these commercials, and I think it just comes off as really cloying and artificial.
Well,
make fake TikToks, basically. Yeah.
Well, not just that, but I think it is bizarre because it's like, well, you're obviously covering up the fact that you have no new rides in 2024.
That's their competition with Universal. Exactly. Is you get to have a birthday party at Disney World.
Except for Tiana, which is coming out at the end of the year, but they can't really advertise that till 2025.
No, it's like Eiji Aonuma like is at Universal preparing for the Zelda theme park, and Disney has birthday parties.
Did you see Nintendo got really mad about that and pulled it?
They pulled what? Oh, they pulled that article?
Okay. No, it was a video. So it was a video that Universal put out that was really geared. It was put on Instagram, and it was really geared towards promoting hiring for Epic Universe.
Yeah.
And it was showing off like the construction that's going on and stuff like that. But in a couple shots, Miyamoto and the creator of Zelda, I'm sorry, I can never pronounce his name right, were spotted. And some Nintendo blogs like started shouting it out. And apparently Nintendo got like a little weak in the knees and ordered Universal to pull this video.
I mean,
just because of a 2 second shot.
But as with most Universal things, they're the worst kept secrets in the entire world.
Oh, but, no, yeah.
Like, yes. Obviously, I think it should have been pretty obvious, like, the minute Nintendo started trying to push Zelda into, like, the cinema sphere. What's weird is that Universal has no partnership with Zelda the movie, but will have Zelda the ride. But anyways, like, yeah, obviously, like, I don't think Miyamoto would have just invited his friend Eiji Aonuma out to Florida. Come take a look at the Mario Land that's in Japan right now.
Why did they agree to film this in the first place? It's like, What? Surely Nintendo had to sign off on this in the first place. And Nintendo's
whoa,
people can use their brains? Shut it down. It's like, all right, what? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, let's talk. We're talking about theme parks, actually. So we're on a good topic here. Now, let's talk about something I don't care about. So,
well, no, I'm just kidding. Well, we are recording this on January 26th, and that is the last day for a beloved attraction.
No doubt about it. Music is an international language. The only thing is, when you get down around my part of the country, it has a little bit of an accent, you know. Now, we're about to hear the Disney Audio Animatronics Bear Band stomp out some of my kind of music, like this. Eat your heart out, Jerry Reed.
The Bear Band bands will play now in the good old key of G. Zeke and Zeb and Ted and friend of our name Tennessee. Zeke's twanging on the banjo and a tapping with his feet. A banging on a dish pan with a real old country beat. Zeb is sawing on the fiddle with a crooked hickory bow. When the spirit moves that ruin, he can make that fiddle go. Brother Ted is on the corn jug. Now I mean that bear can blow. He also plays the washboard with the handle of a hoe.
All right, here we are. We haven't done one of these in a while, and this is going to be not built anymore. And we're going to be talking about the original Country Bear Jamboree, which we did a year and a half ago talk about the Critter Country 500, which is like a redo of the Country Bear Jamboree into a dark ride that was proposed by Kirk Hansen. Now, the original Country Bear Jamboree is now closing in Magic Kingdom today, and by the time you listen to this, it will have been already closed, and it is being transformed into the Country Bear Musical Jamboree, and that is noteworthy because it is featuring, and this is just going to make your heart sing, Dorman, a bunch of Disney songs done in country style alongside one favorite, but they haven't said what the favorite is, but I don't think it's Mama Don't Want Little Buford, but we'll see. That would be very funny. And I also don't think it's the Little Three Bears, Bella, Beulah, and can't remember the other name. Sorry, bad fan.
What's the one where they get horny? That's all the guys one. That turn me all on, turn me down.
That's what I'm talking about. That one.
That'll be there.
Yeah, that'll be there.
That'll do it. That'll be there.
All the guys that turn me on, turn me down. Yeah, I'm sure Disney's really wanting that back in the parks. But anyways, today is the last day for the Country Bear Jamboree, the original. How old is this? Like 52, 53 year old show. And I went to it last time in October. No, that was September. I went to it in September. I did one last run with the Bears. And when's the last time you saw the show?
I think it's been a couple of years. It's been like maybe 5 years. I meant to go last time, but I couldn't. And probably the reason why they're even retheming it, I couldn't convince anybody to actually go into the show with me. I guess I could have went myself, but I went with like family. And I was like, hey, let's go see Country Bears. And everyone's like, eh, really? Which is a bummer.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. Has anyone has any of the like Disney's college program weirdos said like that at the end of the Tiki Room, they sing Hi Ho from Snow White? And as a result, Disney has always been about IP connection. And that we're just fanboys and hate everything.
No, I have not seen that take yet.
Well, I'm giving that takeaway for free and many more. I think that, like, from what I remember of the show and from what it's a particularly memorable show, but like super inoffensive. It's really long. I don't know what the general public's like feelings on it, though, are.
But that's the thing. You just said it's really long, but it's been shortened. was shortened in 2012. I think it used to be 15 minutes. Now it's 10. They cut out like 5 minutes of the show. And most of it is the three heads bickering, the Melvin, Buff, and Buford, Max and Buford. That's it. And yeah,
the bus.
Yeah. Which makes them pointless in the end. Like, you know, so I'm not like, that's why I'm really not opposed to it, because I think the like cuts to the show kind of make the show very uneven in that way. And I am at least looking forward to having a more consistent show that uses all the elements, you know, in a better balance, rather than some jackass going in and just going, we don't need this, we don't need this, anything to cut the show. Because it was back when they were trying to utilize My Magic Plus to the best of its ability, and the shorter the show is, the more of those little Fast Pass Pluses that they could try to push on people. And with Genie, it's a little less geared to that, because the push is now more towards sales rather than efficient flow. And so while I am, you know, thinking that the show will most likely be the same length as the current show, if not a tiny bit shorter, I think at least it'll be written to be far more balanced. And that's the only good thing that I can see very much out of going about this. I have a prediction. And if the show should be opening up in this summer, so Unbuilt will still be going on, so we can see if I have won this bet or not. And I want you to see if you agree with me on this. In the lobby of the Country Bear Jamboree, there are a bunch of portraits of all the bears. I will bet money that when it reopens, the bears now will be dressed as Disney characters in those portraits. Do you think I have a shot on this?
Yeah, and they'll be on like really shitty backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one lady one will be dressed as like Snow White and the castles well, in the
I'm
back.
I'm not saying that this is in the show. I'm saying
yeah, no, I mean lobby. Like in the portraits. Yeah, in the front. Mm-hmm.
Right. I definitely think that's gonna happen.
Can you explain why they're doing this? Because if I was like a typical audience and I was asking for new things at Walt Disney World, why would my first thought be, I want a Country Bears show that features Disney music?
Okay, great question. And
like,
here,
if I like the Country Bears enough that I care to see them sing Disney music, then I don't want them to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would what I want, like, why, how are you going to convince new audiences to watch basically a show from the 70s with Disney music in it?
I have thought about this a lot, and I think the answer is a bit complicated. I think number one, it's being designed essentially to give people in the area of Tiana's Bayou Adventure something else to do. And the reason why they need that is because the very thing next to it is Thunder Mountain, which, again, these are two attractions with big, scary elements. One's a roller coaster, one has a big drop. So they want to give families like with little children who are doing like maybe a child swap thingy or something like that, something else to do. Two, the reason why they have the Disney characters and the Disney songs, I mean, the reason why is because they know it will go viral. And that is my opinion. I think they think that the silly combination, and people love Disney music, and that they will make it go viral on how silly this is. Oh, look, they're singing this from Encanto. Isn't that hilarious?
I think you're right.
We gotta go see this.
And the virality of it is something that I didn't really like.
Yeah.
Appreciate, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
what I think might bite them a little bit in the ass is the fact that I do actually think that, like, there is a sizable group, and I don't mean just rabid Disney fans, by the way. I mean, like, genuine, like, regular, Floridian locals who are very endeared to the Country Bear Jamboree, because like every time that I've gone to it, people clap along and have a really pretty good time during it. And I think they actually might get some complaints that some of the country twang has been taken out of it. Like some of the you know, less weird and strange songs, Mountaintop and others. Like, I think people will be a little taken aback. It is honestly a weird that they also didn't try to go with modern country in adapting. I mean, the show is very old, and obviously there's been way more country. I mean, in the Tokyo parks, I can't remember. I think it might be the Summer Vacation show that they add Achy Breaky Heart into it. They've actually like updated it with a more modern country song. So I think there's a possibility they might get some backlash, and not just from like Magic Kingdom purists. So that is possible. So I think they're going to be walking around like on a good fine line, but I am very curious to see what this is going to be. It has been a very long time since the Walt Disney Company has produced a new animatronic show in the United States. There have been a couple that were developed in Tokyo, but as for animatronic shows in the United States, I believe, I want to say the last one was Food Rocks, which is horrifying. What? But, oh no, you know what? Actually, it's actually worse. I think it might be Enchanted Tiki Room under new management.
Yeah.
Oh God, that is so depressing.
Yeah, the only thing that I can think of with regard to this being a potential viral stunt is, do you remember when Disneyland was doing, what was it, the 60th? And they had the animatronics sing the Frozen song for the first time in forever. Remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's the gist, right? That's exactly what you're going to get here. You're going to get that, like, oh, we can reprogram old animatronics to sing new things because people want Disney music.
Yeah.
All things considered, children are going to hear the songs they know and love it. But I would really, really like it if they just, like, they just went really ballsy with this and just played music from, like, Wish. Brother Bear.
Could you imagine if they were programming like the I'm a Star song, you know, what those,
I don't even know what that is. I didn't see
terrible lyrics. Oh my gosh, you should. Oh, it's so much terrible lyrics. I think it's like goes like
boom, did we just blow your mind?
Well, I've known the entire time
when it comes to the universe, we're all shareholders.
Get back to your system.
Like, that's not really a real line.
That is a horrible, horrible.
Wait, there's a line in that song, when it comes to the universe, we're all shareholders.
That is an honest to God line from the movie Wish. Yes.
That's beautiful. That perfectly encapsulates the movie Wish in like style and tone and everything. It's a movie made for and by shareholders.
But yeah, like I could just imagine they just like some executive like Bob Iger comes in through the door. We got to choose another song. You got to get rid of the I'm a Star. And, you know, that's not happening. Put anything else in there. Anyways, I am very curious to see what the new Country Bear Jamboree is, and I'm very, very looking forward to seeing all of the talk about it online. Honestly, I think what I'm really curious about, actually, is the banter. Like, you know, the songs are one thing, but the Country Bear Jamboree always had a very unique and silly vaudeville banter. And I wonder if, you know, the show writing for Imagineering has not been great. And I am very curious to see what this is going to be like. But
all anyways, I'll say is to cap it off is that I know Imagineering has failed to do anything interesting in a couple of years, but I think this will be the one.
Oh, you say that so convincingly. Well, we will be back later on in 2024 with an Actually Got Built, and we'll be covering the Country Bear Musical Jamboree. I guarantee you we will. But anyways, with that said, let's go on to our main topic.
Screwy ballyhooey Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic.
All right, here we are for our main topic, where we're going to be finishing our episodes on Main Street offshoots. And this is going to be a more quicker little wrap-up, where we're going to talk about International Street in Hollywoodland. Now, if you may remember, last week we discussed Edison Square and Liberty Street. But Walt's first idea for a Main Street offshoot was quite different, one that went behind the entire right-hand side, which was International Street. And from D23, you could kind of see in the show notes there what it looked like if you, it was like on the butt end of those buildings there, and really went in like a, are you familiar with what Lombard Street is?
Yes, I am. What the hell is it? I've heard it before.
Yeah, that's a crooked street in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, I've driven it. Yeah.
I've driven down it too, and it's
the pain in the ass.
It's the pain in the ass, right? Because it's overrated. It's you just sit there. It's like going through a drive-through. You're kind of slowly maneuvering through it. It's kind of like that, but flat. The land was to be a zigzag of alleyways that would morph from one corner of the country to another. If Main Street represented ideal America, International Street was to represent literally everything else. A salute to all nations, indeed. What was featured in International Street? Certainly no attractions. Instead, this merely lent itself as an alternate pathway filled with shops and restaurants where you were truly taking the global scenic route. One idea wanted greenery to the right side with buildings to the left, but Walt seemed to want the bustling, winding streets ideas. And you can see concept art for that in the show notes. And then here's the model of International Street that was brought out at the 2013 D23 convention. And you could see it has that very zigzaggy shape. And guests could wander through the villages of the UK, enter an English pub, shop at a Danish toy store, visit the streets of Spain, and enjoy some pretzels but no beer in Germany. Which, okay, wait, there's an English pub and you can't get alcohol in it. What's the point?
It's distinctly anti-culture there.
Right.
That's not okay.
Exactly. The idea was quaint and cute, but not enough to warrant Walt's attention. In the very early days of the park, a sign claimed that International Street was coming soon. If that looks familiar, it's because eventually Walt decided his park wasn't American enough and replaced it with Liberty Street. And you can see right there, it says site of International Street, grand opening 1956. And you can look through, it says site of future sites. Cute. And then it got replaced with something saying Liberty Street, grand opening 1958. So he changed his mind pretty quickly on that. Right. But you know what's funny is that do you notice what's the same thing in both of these photos? Let's see if you can notice.
I don't know.
Okay. It's the flags. Do you notice that there's international flags?
Oh, you're right. So the flags of all the countries.
Liberty Street. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious. They just kept the international flags over.
Yeah.
And it's like, it seems like they're the same flags.
Mm-hmm, they are probably. And what's weird is that one of them, like the International Street one, is painted like beige, but the Liberty Street one is painted blue and sort of redone. So they had a chance to take down the flags, but they didn't. So that is strange.
Maybe it just like they were just like, it looks kind of nice.
You know, again, the joke keeps happening. A salute to all nations, but mostly America. Like, the joke, maybe this is what the, you know, Bill Prady and the Muppet writers were riffing on. I don't know. It's very strange. But anyways, World Showcase eventually happens, and it's something that Walt kind of really also wanted in Epcot, the city, to have this international culture showcase. So it's something that Walt always had his eye on, but I guess it just wasn't enough. He needed the room for Edison Square and Liberty Street and all that. What are your thoughts on International Street, as little details as we can get in it?
I mean, it's like we talked last time about how these Main Street extensions would have been really interesting if they offered a variety of like shopping options mm-hmm. and things like that. I think though, looking at this, it just looks like a alcohol-free, smaller World Showcase.
Yeah.
Which kind of takes the whole fun out of the experience.
I guess you could enjoy international food maybe and souvenirs, but it's weird to have a bar without booze. What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they would have laxed up on the alcohol rule. I know that the alcohol stuff was to distinguish, because it was to distinguish primarily from mm-hmm. other shittier theme parks.
Yes, it was.
So maybe they would have been a bit more.
I don't know. Even 1966, like, it was hard to convince them to do Club 33, but like everybody was like, Walt, the executives of this stuff, they need booze. Okay, we got at least sense here. Yeah,
it just then. It is weird to have central to your design document a pub and also be distinctly anti-alcohol.
Right.
It just seems like any of the interesting parts of this would have been shaved away by the puritanical Disneyland.
Yeah, it is. It's an odd idea. Like, you know, it is. I like that they kind of like want to have you also have like a tour of the world as like an alternate path. That's cute, but it also seems like maybe like too small of an area to try to do that. Like, in the model, you can kind of see like where you could have had, you know, little shops and nooks and crannies there, but I think it might be like too claustrophobic as well. Could you imagine if this was in, like, how just claustrophobic this would be nowadays? I don't know.
It would be like a worse version of Tomorrowland.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. But that just wasn't meant to be. And then we covered, you know, what he then settled upon, which was Edison Square and Liberty Street, and those weren't meant to be. And Main Street kind of went quiet for a long time. And Walt just kind of stopped wanting to do it. He got focused more on the World's Fair, and then he got focused on New Orleans Square, and then eventually he got focused on doing an entire city in Florida. So flash forward about 30 or so years, and we have good old Michael Eisner come walking through the door to save the Disney company from the Green Mailers and all the people who want to rip the Walt Disney Company apart from the hands of Ron Miller. Almost immediately comes with a Hollywood mindset and fast tracks Disney MGM Studios to be built in Orlando, which of course was an expansion of an Epcot Pavilion pitch about the making of movies. In 1989, the park comes open, complete with the Great Movie Ride, where guests take a grand tour of the greatest moments in Hollywood history, represented by audio animatronics figures. And I have included one of my favorite screenshots, which was people on a Great Movie Ride vehicle facing backwards as a fake film shooting is happening. This one just cracks me up every time.
It's a good photo.
It is a good photo.
It does what it needs to do.
But what is that? It's complete misrepresentation of the ride in many ways. You know,
who cares?
Yeah. I think I know why they staged it like this is because they wanted the, you know, it to be like have a real studio feel, because the whole idea was you were part theme park, part studio. So you would always feel like you were in the movies and you could see movies being filmed even in the theme park rides where they don't.
You wanted the faces and that big sign. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The park was an instant smash hit, and the Imagineers thought of a ton of ideas to expand the park. A shooting dark ride based on Dick Tracy, an entire Roger Rabbit Land, Muppet Studios, the Creature Choice Awards, and many, many other ideas that we have discussed on this very podcast. Please go on the archives and check them out. They are very good episodes. In particular, about a year ago, we did Hooray for Hollywood, which was just a 5 week long, well, it was more than 5 weeks because we go bi-weekly, like I guess 10 week long venture into the world of Disney MGM Studios. Michael Eisner saw these plans, took one look at Disneyland and said, hey, what about them over there on the West Coast? First, he planned on doing the Disney MGM Studios Burbank, which flopped hard and we also covered just 1 year ago. Please check that out. And so we move on to the Disney decade. Are you familiar with the Disney decade and what this was?
We've been doing this show for how long? How long have we been doing Disney podcasts? You're asking if I know what the Disney decade is?
Oh, I'm doing this for the audience. I know what you know what that
is. Am I the audience surrogate? I think this whole time generally I've tried to be the audience surrogate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, you know what the Disney decade is.
Like, no, I don't. Why don't you tell me? I have no clue what you're talking about.
All right. Well, it was an ambitious plan to add to the parks every year in the 90s, announced in late 1989. And some things happened during that decade that didn't make it exactly work out. A lot of bad things happened. A certain Muppeteer dying, a certain theme park flopping hard, and then the CFO dying. Michael Eisner had a heart attack. A lot of things happened. Paul Pressler was hired. It wasn't great. But for Disneyland, at the tail end of the decade in 1999, it would bring a massive expansion of Hollywoodland between Tomorrowland and Main Street. Guests would enter from next to the Opera House on Main Street, where it would now be showing Muppet Vision 3D as a bridge between the two. Entering the land, the right side would be bordered by a hill blocking the berm and the railroad that would have the Hollywood sign on a hill. Guests would walk down Hollywood Boulevard and could see the Chinese Theater, where they could enjoy the West Coast version of the Great Movie Ride. Nearby would be Baby Herman's runaway buggy coaster from the planned Roger Rabbit expansion of Disney MGM Studios. And once again, we did discuss this on the Roger Rabbit episode, one of our most popular and downloaded episodes. But if you haven't listened to it, check it out. But right there, there's a series of storyboards for the entire attraction that were drafted up. Not only that, but they also wanted to squeeze in Dick Tracy's Crime Stoppers. You know, it's like, once again, this was 1989 before this all went to hell, turning this into a unique world of unbuilt attractions. Yet, I'm not sure how they would have been able to fit all this in. And included there is a snippet of a bio-reconstruct aerial from just like a year or so ago. And now Disneyland obviously has changed since 1990, but not this. This is the same. The only difference is that there was a parking lot beyond that berm. That's the only difference. And how big do you think that is between Space Mountain and Main Street? Not very, right?
Not very. Like a couple minutes walk, honestly.
Yeah.
It's actually just by the size of the trees. Definitely not big enough for three attractions.
I agree. Yeah. It's shockingly tiny. Like, I don't know where they would have fit everything. I mean, there is a large cast member building back there, but that would have been, you know, even if you tore that out, that's still not big enough to house all those attractions. But the parking lot was still there. Now, the one bordering the park there. That's the Grand Canyon diorama there and the primeval world. That's where all the dinosaurs are, the railroad there. So possibly they could have had people go under the train, like maybe like the Chinese theater is like a facade in front of there. And they go under the berm and they go into a show building. But still, I don't see the room for like the coaster and Dick Tracy's Crime Stoppers or that much of a land at all.
No, it has to be like a Toontown kind of thing where it takes you out of the previous park boundaries, and expands. But
mm-hmm. But the strangest thing is that the Disneyland Press was still planning Westcott, which would have also chewed into that available space. So I think they were not really thinking fully on how they were going to have their cake and eat it too, in sorts. And sure enough, in 1991, it was completely nixed. And the LA Times reported on this, saying that the removal of the Hollywood land from the construction schedule comes as Disney is attempting to acquire about 70 acres of undeveloped land for future expansion, Cater Corner to Disneyland. Disney executives said, however, that there are no immediate plans to develop a movie theme attraction on the undeveloped land. And they're mostly talking about stuff for Westcott. In 2001, Disney's California Adventure opened up with Hollywood Pictures backlot. The attractions included Muppet Vision 3D, the 1900-seat Hyperion Theater, the Disney Animation Pavilion, and the slow-moving dark ride Superstar Limo. Which is not exactly how Eisner had originally envisioned this. Nowadays, it has an increasingly tiny Disney Animation Pavilion, the Hyperion Theater, which is currently sitting vacant, and the slow-moving Monsters, Inc. Dark Ride, and Mickey's PhilharMagic, and that's about it. So I don't think it's really improved all too much. Unfortunately, all these great ideas for Hollywoodland just never made it. But what if International Street or Hollywoodland were actually built? Let's start out with International Street. Do you see International Street lasting?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Yes, okay. I do.
I think of the two, it's the better idea. Mm-hmm. I also think that while the limitations on alcohol would have certainly kneecapped this thing of actually being as interesting as something like World Showcase,
mm-hmm.
I think that it could have given like a really neat flavor to the shopping experience, maybe. To me, it just feels really out of place to go from Main Street to a bunch of different countries.
Mm-hmm. Like I think a little side door and
it's
all of a sudden
so weird. Yeah, maybe it's because I know Main Street, but I don't think so. I think it's actually just a really messy idea of trying to fit space. Mm-hmm. Like I think trying to take your walkway entrance into the park towards the main spokes with all of the actual lands and replacing that with a Main Street that also breaks off into its own area, like its own. I think it just might overload, number one, the audience if it's too big, and if it's too small, then it's just weird. And it's just weird that you're in the middle of small town America and over there is Germany for some reason.
And not only that, but I feel like this idea is too popular for its own good. Like if it were to last, I think you would agree that it would only get more and more popular, and Disney would eventually find themselves kind of in a bind of this really quaint little corner of Disneyland is so small, but it's so popular that like it makes it kind of almost difficult to reconcile with, sort of like New Orleans Square. Sort of like it. Yeah.
And I 100% agree.
Yeah, they have that problem as well. And of course, that's because, you know, when Walt was building Disneyland, he didn't envision this many crowds really flocking to it. And, you know, he didn't, you know, realize that this would be like a real international destination vacation. Like this was still supposed to be a quaint little family fun park, you know. And that's why scale wasn't that big of a deal to him. Like people constantly shit on Sleeping Beauty Castle. And the thing was, is that, you know, when they decided to go big with Cinderella Castle, they had like 15 years of knowing what Disneyland was and what Disneyland grew to represent. But that isn't what Walt exactly saw. He saw it as a quaint little fun park that had one step in the future. So I can see why he wanted a little small international street, you know, with some cultural flavor. But, you know, especially if like the Disney company got wiser and, you know, went, well, this is an English pub and, you know, it should serve alcohol, you know, right. And then it would just like completely skyrocket in popularity. And the irony is, I don't think there's really a way to expand it, especially if like things like Space Mountain get built or something like that. So yeah, they would definitely be in an interesting bind if it actually got built. And I would love to see how they would exactly have solved it.
Maybe. I mean, hopefully, the only thing I worry about is like if they did it again, a lot of this with iterations and things that would eventually evolve into better attractions and experiences. I worry that if they did this now, then World Showcase would not happen, or they wouldn't be as attracted to the new, fresh idea. Maybe they would think of it as an expanded international street or something like that. This is less likely that it would actually affect decisions later down the line. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's just half-baked because it's a little small. And I just don't understand. Like, people will bitch and moan at what I'm saying and say, well, how does it make any sense that you go from Main Street to Tomorrowland, huh? And it's like, I think it naturally changes. There's like a natural continuum between the hub in front of the castle and then the four areas in a way that I don't feel would be as natural. Frankly, I feel already that Fantasyland to Toontown is kind of unnatural, but gets away with it because they're both cartoons. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's the oddest thing about a Main Street offshoot, is that it's pretending to be a divot from the street, but it goes into another theme. And that's odd. And the whole point of Disneyland was that it was a cinematic experience. And you started in Main Street. And then it was not only when you got to the hub did you get to choose your own cinematic adventure. And by confusing that idea of getting rid of the fact that you're going to go walk down this Main Street venue, it really kind of adds more of a dissonance to the overall whole theme. And especially with like Liberty Street and Edison Square, because those were in taking you to different time frames and different times. I mean, yes, it's what Walt wanted and what Walt wanted went. And it's not like there weren't weird things like, you know, taking the railroad and driving and riding past dinosaurs. Yeah, I guess that's weird, but at least you were on a mode of conveyance and you weren't experiencing the park proper as you entered it, like the Imagineers originally envisioned. I do think it would be kind of odd. It would indeed be kind of odd. I hate to do this, but I'm going to bring up your favorite thing that we do during a what if segment, and that is how they would IPify it.
I don't think they could.
They could.
I really don't think you could. I think that
you're in an English pub, and then you're going to add like the Great Mouse Detective in it, and then you're in,
bullshit. The best they could do, I think, is Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, yeah. Or you're in France and you have Beauty and the Beast, or
Ratatouille,
or
yeah,
what else? Like Hunchback of Notre Dame, or you're in what else? Like Spain, and you have the the canceled Gigantic movie.
The one thing about this project that's really readily apparent is that it's just a collection of restaurants. Like there, you could do anything. Yeah. You could put any shops in this area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it's mostly shops. Yeah, yeah.
Right. It's not really.
It's incredibly not really much.
Mm-hmm. No, and it doesn't have like a point. It's like a shopping mall, like inside Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. I can see why Walt kind of like quickly went, can we do this instead?
Yeah, because I think it makes more sense as an offshoot of Main Street to do an American-inspired area. The one thing,
no, you're right.
I will say that I was thinking about it a little bit, and Tokyo Disneyland does have technically offshoots of Main Street become areas.
It's called World Bazaar.
That's right. World Bazaar goes into the hub, but technically Tomorrowland and Adventureland are accessed both from the hub and through side streets and Main Street.
Right. And so does it change into different cultures or something like that? Because I know it's called World Bazaar.
Not really. Main Street just looks like Main Street.
Main Street,
and then half of it, a little bit, like there's the waffle, like it looks like a French kind of waffle place. But in my, like in my layman experience, which means in my, I've been there once and haven't like thought about it too much. The left-hand side slowly fades into New Orleans Square, which is not that jarring actually, as it essentially shifts into the Disneyland facade of Pirates of the Caribbean, and then the right hand side goes to Tomorrowland. I'm looking at a map right now, just to make sure that I'm correct here. It goes into Tomorrowland and it shifts a little bit into Monstropolis and just general Tomorrowland stuff. So like, no, the World Bazaar definitely isn't multicultural insofar that it's distinctly not Main Street. But it's not really like it's along the lines of International Boulevard or this concept or World Showcase or anything like that. So it's been done technically before anyone calls me out. It's been done where you can have area spokes off of a Main Street. I can say it feels weird just in the back of my head, but I do think that Disneyland's Main Street is, of all of the Main Streets, the most thematically coherent. I think Walt Disney World's kind of slips a little bit, and not that it's bad, but just that it's a bit less. It's a lot more. It's a lot bigger. Everything's massive.
It's a lot bigger, And I think you lose that small town thing. I kind of think they needed to do it because of the bigger castle and it was a scale thing.
They absolutely needed. They did. They totally did.
Yeah.
I think that like it was a good decision. It was also improved shopping space. Like you could increase the number of stores. Everything is like connected to each other completely through Main Street and. You know, that's a great idea. Just strictly with regard to the benefits of Disneyland, having everything be smaller because of the scale of the castle, I think really improved the experience.
And no, I agree,
I guess I'd worry that, like, the International, I need to actually call it its correct name. Yeah, International Street. There you go. I think International Street would just feel awkward. Maybe if they started putting in, like, IP, maybe it would just feel like a excuse, which I would understand more if there was like a good excuse, like, oh, well, we just want to slide in, yada yada yada. I gotta imagine maybe the draw for like Walt and the Imagineers at the time was, what if we could bring French cuisine to Disneyland? You know,
like you just flavors of the world. That was rare. Back in the 50s.
And Disneyland kind of offered that opportunity in a way that other places didn't.
True.
I am really averse to the idea of International Street.
Well, let's move on to Hollywoodland. Now, the one thing about this one is that, this is going to be totally honest here. It's impossible. Like the way that they describe it is impossible. I think the Imagineers are at this time probably throwing out, maybe we could do this, but there's no room for it. I think what there is room for, and like I was reading that they were thinking of like having the Echo Lake with Gertie there. And it's like, where would you do this? Here's what I think it would be. I think you would walk in, it would have some Hollywood Boulevard elements, the Chinese Theater, you would go under the berm into a show building and have the Great Movie Ride, and that would be it. No Roger Rabbit ride, no nothing. I think that in the end, once they sanded it all down, I think that would be the actual attraction. Do you agree with that? Like,
yeah, it would have been cheap.
Basically,
to me, the what if is that it would be a complete pile of dog shit.
Because
it would be terrible because it's It's a Michael Eisner idea in it, okay. in the most perfect. I know this is 91, so this is pre Michael Eisner hits the shitter ideas, right?
I just want to pause right now and ask you, where were you in August of 2017?
Where were you? Wasn't I in Disneyland?
No.
No, August 2017.
Not in August 2017. That or July. It was August. You went to a certain event. Do you remember this? Oh, you went to a certain
Tom
event.
One?
And you went to maybe, I don't know, walk through an attraction.
I saw Tom Corliss there, yeah.
That's right, yes. So basically, you flew all the way down to Florida to walk through the Great Movie Ride, and now you're calling a land that would have the Great Movie Ride in Disneyland a piece of dog shit?
It would be a piece of dog shit because it can't fit in the area. It's too small. I would need to see broader plans to understand how they would expand it.
My theory is they would go under the berm into a show building like Indiana Jones or Pirates or Haunted Mansion. But I don't think they could fit anything else. Yeah.
You're looking at potentially expanding this Disneyland area to include Muppet Vision 3D.
Well, in the Opera House, yes.
That's correct. A West Coast version of the Great Movie Ride, Baby Herman's Runaway Buggy Coaster, and Dick Tracy's Crime Top.
I don't think those two are happening.
So it would be just the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Great Movie Ride is admittedly boring as shit.
Wow.
It's an incredibly pretty ride, but I think it sits... Look, I think, for example, right? I think if you put Sleeping Beauty's Castle Walk... I know this is like a terrible comparison, but if you put Sleeping Beauty's Castle Walkthrough in the middle of a park as like a centerpiece, I think it's really nice. But it's not its own thing. Attractions can... They stand in context while... I sound like Jim Scholl, like giving the worst possible take with all the confidence in my chest.
You're gonna put the worst hashtag ever. Hashtag nonsense. Did you see the one where he put hashtag bland?
I don't That's read his tweets. I try not to because they're all complete nonsense. Like, I don't know what he was talking about with Hondo, but I understood, but he's a clown. Anyways, my point is that I think the Great Movie Ride works best in the context of being in a park about the movies. Mm. I don't necessarily think that it could stand alone, especially in an offshoot of Main Street, into a weird quasi fourth land in Disneyland.
Right.
I like Great Movie Ride. I think maybe two is a little much. Like, I think there was already one. They didn't need to build two. But
now I'm curious. What if the California Adventure, and when I say this was never planned. This is not an unbuilt thing. This is just me throwing a hypothetical. What if they put the Great Movie Ride in their Hollywood section? Would you be fine with that?
I mean, I think that copying attractions is always... I wouldn't know what to say, honestly.
Okay.
I think that typically copying attractions is a little lazy, especially when you don't try to do anything to conform it to the new park.
Well, I would hope that would have like maybe new scenes and stuff like that. God, I would hope.
I would hope so. Mm-hmm. If it did, then that would be awesome, I guess. Like, I don't see a problem with it. It would all have to boil down to how it actually is developed. And I guess the same thing is actually it's the same for this Main Street offshoot. Like, it would all boil down to how this thing actually comes to fruition. I just think it would be really odd, but I guess there's nothing inherently wrong with it in Disneyland. It's such a bland idea, though. Like, the least interesting possible thing to talk about is that they're going to take an attraction that's already been built and bring it across the country. The more interesting stuff is the Baby Herman and the Dick Tracy's Crime Stoppers.
Because we don't know what that is, But let's be honest, like, it's much more likely that they would bring something over that exists rather than that. And I would actually, after all this, I'm just going to say, I actually agree with you. I think it is a bizarre concept. It is so bizarre to like be like, oh yeah, so to go to Disneyland you go like walk you're gonna walk down the hub and go into any of these lands from the hub, or you could just veer to the right when you get in to go to this land completely separate of anything else. Like, yeah. It would be just so odd in its layout, so odd in its context, and it is such an obvious Michael Eisner idea, because this stuff is cheap and easy to make. I think they were just so weirdly ambitious with, we're going to put this in there and this in there. And then you look at the amount of space they have to work with and you just kind of go, you're out of your fucking minds. What are you talking about? What are we talking about here? No, you wouldn't have been able to put all of this there. And, you know, lots of people are like, well, that's what they said. I'm like, I don't care what they said. They weren't talking realistically, because there's no way any of this could have fit here. And even if they brought like the great movie ride, able to expand beyond the berm, you went in and did it. Like, I guess it would be cool to have a West Coast version of it, but the placement is just so bizarre. Again, I'd rather prefer the other one. And what if it was built? I mean, it wouldn't be there today. That's probably where Runaway Railway would have gone. Maybe like in the end, they would have replaced them both at the same time. And we would have this probably awkward Hollywood land.
But I think you'd get a much smaller version of the Great Movie Ride anyways. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the massive show building of the original Great Movie Ride, and just, it's like a half mile marathon to get to the fucking show building.
Mm-hmm.
For if you actually put the real Great Movie Ride in Disneyland in this area,
it would
eat up like a lot of the parking lot. I'm surprised it never made it, like, even in a half-assed version to California Adventure.
Yeah.
Ergo, like, Muppet Visions cheapo version. And
That was the thing. It's like, whatever's cheap. And, you know, the whole idea behind, the only reason why the Hyperion Theater is, like, so lavish and big is because they wanted, like, the original plan was they were going to host concerts there and stuff like that. So it's, like, going to be, like, a multi-purpose thing. So it would make money as well, and then they ditched it. Like, there's so many ideas.
Bless you.
Woo! Okay, sorry. Yeah,
unfortunately, these ideas suck. So
agreed. And
like, both, I mean, I would. I'm kind of glad both of them were never followed up on, because they just became better ideas. Like, there's just better versions of both of them. Say what you will about California Adventure, but it's a more respectful way to half-ass Hollywood Land than to put it in Main Street.
I would just rather have had actually the Chinese theater there and stuff like that. But whatever, I guess we have to have.
There already is a Chinese theater. It's like an hour down the street.
No, that's true. That's true.
You just go see it and you go, Elmo will come and berate you.
You can meet, I wonder if they have any Bluey walk around characters there.
Oh God, now? Yeah, Skibbity Toilet, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Oh no, no. That's like the second time today I've had to talk about that stupid toilet thing.
You haven't seen like there's like a Skibbity Toilet like toys at like the carnival and things like that.
Are they official?
No, because they can't be official.
They
because
can't be official. Like,
it's very weird because
nobody even owns this thing.
And some guy has.
What carnivals are you going to? I need to see. Did you take a photo of this?
No. I've just seen pictures of it.
Oh my god!
I go to the store and I see Poppy's Playtime plushies. I don't know if you know what that is.
No, I have no idea.
It's like another one of those kids' horror things, like the shit they pump out on Steam. But I know Skibbity Toilet, they sell like shirts at the boardwalk. I've seen pictures. The problem with it is that some guy has copyrighted it as far as he reasonably can.
Mm-hmm.
But because the models are just ripped straight from Gary's Mod, it's like, what, you can't do anything about it.
Oh god, I rarely.
You don't think Disney's gonna put get Skibbity Toilet?
Skibbity
going?
Toilet. It's gonna buy the IP, and that's how they're going to save their theatrical slate. Is what the movie of Skibbity Toilet?
Frankly, Disney should be in all seriousness, Disney should be pretty embarrassed that the current thing capturing their target audience's attention is a skibbity toilet.
Oh no.
That's why they're going for the geriatrics in the new Walt Disney World commercials.
Yeah.
Because it's the only people who still care.
That's exactly.
Kids like Bluey. Bluey's on Disney Plus, right?
Well, that's the thing. That's the irony, is that they don't own it.
Yeah, it's just the ones who are putting licensing. It out in the United States.
Yeah. They're licensing it, and that's like it. They don't get any. I mean, you go to like any Walmart and it's like there's a crap load of Bluey merchandise, but Disney don't see a dime of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't see a single dime on that. So all they're doing is enjoying the fact that people subscribe to Disney Plus. Yeah, they're getting those to watch Bluey, but they ain't making those money on the Bluey merchandise. So the Asha toys, those are getting bypassed, but people are buying toys of Chili and Bandit and Bluey and...
What the hell's Asha?
Asha, she's the main character from Wish.
Oh. I see.
Oh, well, it's sad. But anyways, I think we both know our answers for Build It or Not, and it's a no for me, and I'm going to assume it's a no from you as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What was this episode? You announced this show is almost ending, and we're talking about the worst possible.
Yeah, I know. We just spent like 5 minutes talking about Skibbity Toilet. So maybe that's like, that is an omen. That is an omen of things to come. Oh man. But anyways, people have been sending me ideas for more episodes, and I thank you so much for it. I will be looking at the schedule. But if you have any more, please let me know. Please either let me know on Twitter, or you can email us at unbuilt@gmail.com, or find us in real life. You know, if you see Dorman on the street, shake him and tell him to do something.
Haven't any Unbuilt fans said hi to me on the street yet?
Yeah, because
if you're listening to the show and you can get me a space 220 reservation, please DM.
I could probably help you with that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
When the API changed on the website, those trackers don't work anymore.
No,
I know.
Damn. But anyways, we will be back soon with another episode. Once again, we will have episodes all year long, as well as though Ko-Fi, as you're listening to this, has been shut down, but very soon, very, very soon, there will be episodes from the Ko-Fi archive starting to appear on the main feed when we do not have episodes. Hooray! So you can listen to those now. And those will be on our off week. So you'll get something in the hopper every single week from our feed. But in the meantime, Phillies, follow us on social media, on Twitter @UnbuiltPod. You can reach me at OpenMothersNail and Ryan Dorman at OpenTheDorman. Feel free to email us at UnbuiltPod@gmail.com, rate us or every you find this podcast, please write a review and tell us how we're doing. And if you don't like us, thank you for listening to You Must Remember This. I'm Karina Longworth. See ya, folks.
See ya.
Wanna see you work your body.